are my protector, and you are my provider, and my deliverer. There's no other.
Stevie B's Media Production presents What a Word from the Lord with your host, Stevie R. Butler. This radio show is dedicated to spreading the truth of God's Word, rightly dividing the Word of Truth. We're grateful that you are tuning in to our radio broadcast this evening. This radio show is brought to you by loving and faithful members of the Churches of Christ. We would ask that you would take out your Bibles and study along with us. We have a very exciting show planned for your spiritual enlightenment and your edification. If you would like to contact us while we're on the air this evening, give us a call to the live show at 713-955-0508. If you have any questions or comments for any of my co-hosts or my guests on the show tonight, you can send me an email to srbutler1009@yahoo.com, or give me a call to the Carolina studio at 910-491-6405. Now again, this program is brought to you by members of the Churches of Christ, and if you need any assistance in locating a congregation in your area, please feel free to contact us. Now folks, get out your Bibles and study along with us here on What a Word from the Lord with your host, Stevie R. Butler.
My soul from sin, love me again and again.
Into this radio broadcast, Stevie B's Media Production presents What a Word from the Lord. I'm your host, Stevie R. Butler, and this radio show is being broadcast from the Carolina studio in the great state of North Carolina. Ladies and gentlemen, we are just so grateful for the privilege to bring you a program where we as Christians and members of the Churches of Christ can share our faith and preach and teach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ on a weekly basis. So before we go into our program for this evening, I would ask that you would bow with me in a word of prayer that we may thank God for this opportunity. Our most kind, gracious, and heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for the privilege to be able to come on this broadcast and preach and teach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. We give thank you for our special guest, Michael Lawyer, who will be bringing us a word from the scriptures. And we pray that you'll continue to bless his efforts to sow the seed of the kingdom and bless his family as they support his efforts as well. Pray for my guest, Amari Amari, in the community corner, that you'll continue to be with him in his service to our community. And we pray that he will make a positive impact for those whom he'll come in contact with on a daily basis. Father, we pray that you will be with our listeners as they listen to this program this evening. We pray that they may hear something that will cause them to consider their eternal stance before you and their soul salvation. Father, we thank you so much for Jesus and all that he means to us in this life and in the life to come. We thank you for his precious sacrifice on Calvary. We recognize that without such a sacrifice, we would not even have a hope of eternal life. Father, we pray that you'll continue to bless us and keep us and love us all the days of our lives. And if we have been faithful unto death, Father, we pray that you would save us. For it's in Christ's name we do ask it all. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to What a Word from the Lord. Tonight is episode 77, ladies and gentlemen. We are laying one brick at a time, and we are just having a great time on this radio show. On tonight, my special guest speaker in the first segment will be Michael Lawyer out of Indianapolis, Indiana. He's been on the show before, and he did such a great job. I invited him to come back again, and he was willing to do so. Certainly appreciate him for coming on the show tonight. And in the community corner, we have my special guest, Amari Amari, out of the state of Florida. Looking forward to hearing his presentation on the broadcast as well. And then I'll be closing out the show with a lesson as well. My co-host, Edward Bishop, won't be joining us tonight, but we're going to have a great show and looking forward to hearing these lessons on the broadcast and Amari Amari's presentation as well. So thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to What a Word from the Lord. I'm your host, Stevie R. Butler. The next voice you hear after this song will be that of my special guest speaker, Michael Lawyer. Enjoy the show. Open your Bibles now and open your minds, and let's have a great show.
And we won't insist
to the air.
Just remember, don't forget.
I remember, God, I know,
God,
what's best.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, my God.
God,
He knows what's best. Late in the midnight hour, I was crying and all alone, waiting for an answer. My hope's gone. I even called on my best friend, and she could not be found. Lord, you said you'll never leave me nor forsake me. Lord, where are you now? So I went to church the next Sunday morning, looking for my breakthrough. I knew a change would come if I just hold on, 'cause God's word is true. But then the preacher said something, and it took me by surprise. Sometimes God says no, but just like Job, you gotta trust him, my child. When God says no, but when the preacher said it,
and
I didn't quite understand it. He said, don't forget, just trust your Father,
because
He knows what's best. When I lay awake in the middle of the night, with tears streaming from my eyes, I remember, Father knows, no matter what you're going through, because
He knows,
Father knows. Started to feel a little better, 'cause He started talking about my Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and how we prayed to the Father, let this cup pass from me. Then he did just like me, y'all. Said he went to his best friend, and his friends let him down. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Where are you now? You see, sometimes God is moving, and we don't understand. See, Jesus paid the cost when we were lost, and it was all a part of God's master plan. So when you're waiting for that answer, and God says no to you, just go ahead and shout,
hey,
and have no doubt,
I trust your
that the Father knows
hey,
more than you. When God says no, 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 no.
See,
it's not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. That's why I'm trusting in your Father. So when I prayed for that job, and I never get the call.
And I never get the call.
And you pray
yes,
for that sick loved one, and they've gone on to that eternal
home.
And when you cried and you prayed and you cried, and you feel there's
nothing left,
just put it in the hands of the Father. And remember, no matter what it is or what it looks like, God, he knows. Yes,
he knows what's best.
You are listening to What a Word from the Lord with your host, Stevie R. Butler. Now, my special guest speaker, Michael Lawyer, and his subject, Going Home Without Jesus.
Brother Butler, I want to thank you for having me here again with you this evening. My name is Michael Lawler. I come to you from the capital of the great state of Indiana, Indianapolis, known as the Crossroads of America. I also come to bring you greetings from the Fall Creek Parkway Church of Christ, which is located at 380 West Fall Creek Parkway here in Indianapolis. If you're ever in town, we encourage you to come out and visit us, because we are the church where God is loved, served, and praised, the truth is taught, and souls are saved. Our minister is Brother Donald Eason, Jr. This evening, I want to talk to you for a few minutes on the subject of going home without Jesus. You know, home is a place where that cow goes at the end of the day. Home is where that old dog or cat goes when they're ready to eat. But I'm not talking about that home this evening. From the time that our mother gives birth to us, we start our long journey home. And our text for this evening will be coming from the second chapter of the book of Luke, beginning at verse number 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and their acquaintances. And when they found him not, they turned back to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dwelt with us? Behold, Father and I have sought thee sorrowfully. And he said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Wished it not that I must be about my Father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. I want to talk to you for a few minutes on this going home without Jesus. His parents, first of all, let's put the parents in the picture, in perspective here. His parents, they took him with it. They did not leave Jesus with a babysitter. They did not leave Jesus alone by himself because they knew he was divine, so they knew he could take care of himself, but they took him with them. When he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom. Now, our responsibility to kids is to train them. The Bible teaches us to train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. It's our responsibility to the kids to not only train them, but teach them. Teach them the Bible. Teach them the gospel. Teach them how to rightly divide the word of God. Today, we have many parents that are lacking in this area because we have an electronic babysitter. It's called the television. And if not the television, we get Xbox, PlayStation, this game, that game. And the kids, they know more about Call of Duty and how to get from one point A to point B and how many people to kill in the game, but they don't know the story of how Christ came to earth, gave his life on the tree of Calvary, that we through him might have everlasting life. So it's our responsibility to the kids to not only teach them, but to train them. And we also have to be a role model to our young people today. Charles Barkley made a commercial not too long ago that said, "I'm not a role model. Your parents should be your hero and your role model." You know, the old saying, do as I say and not do as I do, that is not being a good role model for kids in a Christian home. A child should grow up seeing their father love the Lord, love the church, love his neighbor, love his wife. Because Jesus preached love. And you know, we all say that, yes, God loves us, but God does love us. But he expects us to be obedient to his word. And how can we be obedient if we don't teach our children of the word? And as you see in verse number 42, it says, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom. So you see, they had a structured life. They did not, you know, it's almost like we do nowadays. It's our custom, well, it's also our commandment to worship the Lord on the first day of the week, but it's also our custom to go to Bible study, either on Tuesday night or Wednesday night or Thursday night, whichever, and we study and learn more about the Lord. Now, when they had fulfilled the days, oh my goodness, this is where a lot of us run into problems. We don't like to fulfill the days. But the Bible teaches us that when his parents said, fulfill the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. Now, how do we fulfill the days like today? I'm not abreast on all the customs that went into the worshiping and things that they did when they went to Jerusalem. However, it tells us here that they did not leave until things were complete. Nowadays, you know, oh, I don't feel good. I got a headache. I got to cut and run. I have not fulfilled the days. You know, when we don't give as we should in worship service, we have not fulfilled the days. When we don't commune on the Lord's day as commanded, we have not fulfilled the days. When we don't sit and listen to that sermon and absorb it and take it into our lives, we have not fulfilled the days. And also fulfilling the days goes beyond worship. Worship is not the end of fulfilling your days. As Christians, we need to meet the needs of others. In case you didn't hear me, let me say that one more time. We as Christians, we need to meet the needs of others. I don't know how your congregation go about that, but we're starting a homeless ministry. One of the other congregations here has a homeless ministry going already. We want to start our own homeless ministry. We want to be able to feed the hungry if they need it. We want to be able to help them with their bills if they need it. We want to be able to help them with their medicine if they need it. That is goes along with fulfilling the days. Now, of course, you wouldn't walk up down the street and somebody say, hey, man, give me $5. I haven't eaten, because you don't know if he's going to the liquor store, the drug house. You don't know what he's going to do with that money. But as Christians, we could take that brother or that sister or that man or woman by the hand, take them to McDonald's and feed them. Because a brother down in Louisville, Kentucky, but Jerry Stevenson once told me that you have to show you care before you share. Did you hear me on that one? You have to learn to show people that you care before you can share. Now, what I mean by that, show them that you care. Show them that you love them. Show them that Christian love that we as Christians are supposed to embody. Show them that Christian spirit of giving, of listening, of being attentive to their needs. Then once you do that, tell them about Jesus. Tell them about how Jesus came from glory, how he gave up a home sitting on the right hand of God to come down in a sin-filled world, how he gave his life, how he was tortured, how he was beaten, how he was led from judgment hall to judgment hall, how he was nailed to that cross. But he did that for us. But before we can share, we need to show people that we care. And you know, it behooves me, but I have a lot of people that say, once again, Brother Mike, how do you really sincerely know if that person is in need? Well, you don't. You don't. Because I've seen people who are fantastic liars come in and get money for the church, saying that they need it for one thing or another. But, you know, we're not the judge. God is the judge. God will take care of that. If that person comes to you and lies to you, well, hey, you tried to fulfill that person's need. And that's what being a good Christian is all about, fulfilling the days. And we talk about giving. And, you know, nowadays we need to pay our ministers. If we're going to have a minister to be at our beck and call all the time, we need to pay that minister. We need to show him that we love him and that we support him and that, you know, we appreciate his attentiveness to the congregational need. We need to show that. If you need a van or a bus to pick people up, if you don't give, how can you get that? We, you know, God's not going to come down, oh, you need a van, bing, van. No, it doesn't work like that, brothers and sisters. We got to dig deep. The Bible teaches us to give as you prosper in your heart. Jesus ain't asking for everything, but give back. And giving not only entails that, but it also entails your time. It also entails your time. Giving your time to help people. Giving your time, if nothing else, to help clean up the church building, giving your time to cut the grass, giving your time to visit the sick. I know Sister Viola Dinkins, I've known her for, oh my goodness, I think the lady used to change my diapers when I was young, and she's sick, and I ran into her, and I had the most wonderful time just sitting down talking to her, and she seemed like she was uplifted by our conversation. That is me giving my time because I had something else I had to do. I was late for a different appointment. But I gave my time because I wanted to. It was not grudgingly or out of necessity. I did it because I want to. And if that opportunity came again, Sister Dinkins, I will sit down and talk with you at length again. I love you. You know, that's our lesson here. We got to not only that, but Jesus gave the commandment in Matthew, the 26th chapter, on taking communion. Over in Acts, Luke set it up where Paul preached unto in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them. Let's go back. When the disciples came together to break bread. Now, I have Bible scholars telling me, oh, well, they were talking about a meal. No, they were not talking about a meal. Get Divine Dictionary and look at the connotation that that verse was in. They were talking about they came to commune. And when they came to commune, they fulfilled the commandment that Jesus gave them back in Matthew chapter 26. Also, the prayer. Oh, my goodness. We all stand in need of prayer. You know, we sing that song, Prayer Works. Prayer Works. After all the things that I've been through, I know prayer works. Paul teaches us also, pray without ceasing. Now, down in verse 24, but they were supposing him to have been in their company, and they went a day's journey and saw him among their kinfolk and their acquaintances. Now, you know, my daughter attends church. She's a member of the church. She knows that when they say amen, Dad is going to go around and speak to everybody. So she knows she has a little free time. But my daughter is also going to be near that car at the time, so she won't get left behind. And I do pay attention to it because something might happen and I might just decide to bolt all of a sudden. But so I always look. But see, they were supposing. They weren't sure. You know, and you know, Mary and Joseph, they were, you know, we've already established that they were everyday people. They had customs that they kept. They fulfilled the duty which they went to perform. Now, as they were going back, obviously it was a long journey because they had gone a whole day's journey. And you know, when they looked around, you know, I'm sure I can, you know, I closed my eyes and you won't read this in Luke chapter 2, but I closed my eyes and I can see them. Well, Mary, had you seen Jesus? Joseph, no, I haven't seen him. He's probably back there with the boys, you know. Okay, and then Mary, and I pick on Mary because Mary, the mother, is always the more concerned one of the two. Dad is more lackadaisical because the mother is always concerned and on point when it comes to the children. And I can see her going up to, well, Stevie Butler, have you seen Jesus? Steve's like, well, no, you know, the kids are all back there, they're playing, having a good time, but they're keeping up, you know. Or Earl Brown, have you seen Jesus? No, I haven't seen him, you know, I'm sure he's back there, you know. But they were supposing, and because they were supposing, they went a whole day's journey. That whole day's journey on their way home. But, like many of us today, they were on their way home without Jesus. Now, once they turned back, when they turned back again to Jerusalem, and they looked for him, and after 3 days, so here we are, we've taken 3 days out of their lives, and they're looking for Jesus, but they couldn't find him. And his mother said down in verse number 49, verse 48, how is it that you dealt with us like this? Don't you know your father and I have sought thee sorrowing? Now, until that they started seeking Jesus, sorrowing, not knowing where he was, not knowing if he was in trouble, not knowing anything, they were sorrowing. Then they decided to do something about it. Brothers and sisters, I implore you today, don't get to the point where you start seeking Jesus sorrowfully. Be diligent. You know, over in the book of Hebrews, I believe it's chapter 11 and verse number 6, it says, he that comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of him that diligently seek him. So, you see, we can't be haphazard and go about our everyday lives, you know, Oh, well, you know, God knows my heart. Of course God knows your heart. And if you're in sin, God knows it. You know, God knows I'm a good person. I've done this, I've done that. Over in the book of Matthew, Jesus said, on that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, haven't I cast out many devils in your name? Haven't I done many great things in your name? And Jesus will say, depart from me. I never knew you. You work of iniquity. Now, again, we're running into trouble here because people, they like to say that we teach, we get people to come to church by teaching fear. I don't teach fear for people, friends, neighbors. I do not teach fear at all. If you believe in heaven, you must also believe there is a hell. Over in the book of Revelation, it says, it talks about people who are in sin and in error and where they have their home in the lake of fire that burns with fire and brimstone. Over in the book of 2 Thessalonians, it says in chapter 1 and verse 8, in the flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord, who shall be punished with an everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and his glory. That's hell, people. That is hell. So you see, if Paul can talk about it, Mike can talk about it. You know, heaven, we picture heaven, we hear about the pearly gates. We hear about the street paved with gold. We hear about the ivory palaces. We hear how beautiful it must be, angels and the glorious singing and rejoicing and praising God. But there's also a place for those who didn't get in to heaven, and it's called hell. How did we get to hell? Do nothing. Do nothing. We're going to get back here to our lesson. Now, if you think about this, this should make you want to sincerely and diligently seek God. You know, the word diligently means earnestness, the zeal, the haste, because people, we don't know. We do not know when our time is coming. I had a cousin not too long ago, saw him Thanksgiving, hadn't seen him in about 15, 20 years, saw him Thanksgiving, came home from church a couple of Sundays ago, and first thing I did was go on Facebook, and I saw that he had passed early that morning. You know, my cousin and I, we used to think we were invincible. We were going to live forever. Well, I'm sorry, it just really does not work like that. And while we're here, we are supposed to love our neighbors, love the Lord, keep his commandments. And that is the whole duty of man, to fear God and keep his commandments. And when it says fear God, they're not talking about, oh my God, God. No, they're talking about a reverence or respectful fear of God. Now, when they start seeking him, sorrowing, that's when they turn back. A lot of times we have brothers and sisters who were brought up in the church, who will leave the church for one reason or another. I'm not even going to speculate on that. And get seduced by the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, or the lust of the spirit. And they forget about God. And the only time they think about God is if there's a tragedy in their life. The only time they call upon the Lord is at a low point in their life. You know, and people think that because you're a Christian, people often say, because you're a Christian, you know, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, you can't do that. Well, I'm here to tell you that it's not like that. It's just that when you play softball and somebody wants to go out and get drunk, no, you can't do that. You know, the Bible teaches us that all things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. And expediency means that we have to build up. We have to help our people up. What we really need to do is to wait on the Lord. Over in the book of Daniel, we see that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they refused to bow down to the king. The king commanded his people to make the furnace exceedingly hot. And they went in, but they sent three in, but there was before in that fire. They waited on the Lord. Brothers and sisters, my time is almost over, and I want to thank you for being with me this evening. If you have any questions or anything about what I said, be sure and call Stevie Butler, and Stevie will get in touch with me, and I will personally address them. Until next time, love the Lord, keep his commandments. I love you. Thank you, and good night.
These are the announcements for the events and activities in the Churches of Christ. If you would like to have your events and activities announced on this broadcast, please give me a call at 910-491-6405. Or give me a call or send me an email to srbutler1009@yahoo.com. On October the 1st through the 4th, 2018, the Southeastern Lectureship 2018 will be hosted by the West Oak Grove Church of Christ. And that address is 3455 Highway 51 South, Hernando, Mississippi, 38632. For hotel information and registration, please contact the ministry evangelist, Terry D. Wallace Sr., at telephone number 662-449-4191. On August 31st to September 3rd, 2018, the 87th Annual Homecoming and Empowerment Conference will be held at the Woodland Forest Church of Christ. And that theme is Moving from Emancipation to Sanctification. And that address is 1515 North Forest Street, Valdosta, Georgia, 31601. And that website is woodlandforest.com. For more information, please give them a call at 229-242-7628. And the ministering evangelist is Leroy Butler, Jr. On September 30th through October 3rd, 2018, the 37th annual anniversary will be held at the Downtown Church of Christ, address 3105 Granby Street, Norfolk, Virginia, 23504. For more information, please give them a call at 757-622-2230. And the guest speaker will be my co-host from the Gospel Light radio show, Courtney Carruthers. And the nightly service will be held Monday through Wednesday at 7 p.m. On July the 29th through August the 1st, 2018, there will be a summer gospel meeting at the Barrett Station Church of Christ. And that address is 123 Zan Drive, Crosby, Texas, 77532. And the theme is Stay on the Ship. And the guest speaker will be George M. Williams. And that will conclude our announcement.
God's the creator. I believe that my God is a healer. I believe that my God reigns on high. I believe that my God is almighty. I believe that my God truly loves me. I believe that my God is alive. Saying things like, my God is not real.
I know you're real, Lord.
All right. Lord, they'd rather turn to men's ways, living how they want, like it's gonna be okay. They don't understand that they're losing their soul.
Deep in sin.
That's why I
wake up.
Yeah, yeah.
Wake up and pray up.
Pray up, Lord.
Lord, you're better than both.
So good, so good.
I believe in you.
I believe in you.
I believe
oh.
Hold on.
Hold on.
You. Lord, I stay strong.
Stay strong.
That's why I pray, Lord.
Yeah, yeah. If you can't see it, you should believe it. But Lord, I can't see the air that I breathe. No, no. And they say that you didn't make man that day, that we come from some kind of ape. But Lord, I don't believe.
You're listening to What a Word from the Lord with your host, Stevie R. Butler. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is the part portion of the broadcast. We have the Community Corner. And what this is, you know, sometimes we have people who come to the church looking for help, and sometimes we have to tell them, well, that's not really a work of the church. And that might be the case in some instances, but not all the time. But we don't seem to always tell them where they need to go to get the help that they need. So this segment of the show, the Community Corner, is designed to just simply tell our listeners just what products and services are being offered in our community and how you can go about to contact them for their services. Ladies and gentlemen, we just be surprised to know just what services are being offered right there in our congregations. You'd be surprised what people are doing around us. So we just want to make the saints aware of the services that are available to them. So on tonight's broadcast in the Community Corner, we have my special guest, Amari Amari, out of the state of Florida. How you doing, my brother?
Doing well, thank you. And yourself?
I'm doing just fine. All right, I'm going to give you the floor. Go ahead and introduce yourself and just let my listeners know just what services that you provide.
Yes, sir. First and foremost, thank you so much for allowing me to come on the program. My queen, Amani Mara, and I, we thank you so much. She's the executive director of all the businesses, and I am the CEO of Synergetic Network Group, LLC. We are a professional networking group here in South Florida. We are a community liaison for entrepreneurs and consumers with a mission to deliver value to businesses through information, advocacy, and services. I'm also the founder of Tribal Unity Organization. And we focus on the three major tiers in your life, your spiritual, your physical, and your financial wellness. And I am the CEO of El Kebalon Lifestyle, where we introduce those who are quote-unquote African, to their culture. What we do is we provide clothing in a modern-day El Kebalon style that will accommodate those who consider themselves to be kings and queens. It's more of a high-end, if you will, clothing line. And we are on Facebook. We are on Instagram. And El Kebalon, that's spelled A-L-K-E-B-U, L-A-N, and lifestyle. But our website is www.alkebalonlife.com. You can go there and you can purchase the clothing. Our clothing is handcrafted, comes straight from Accra, Ghana. And also, if you're looking to market your business, Synergetic Network Group, LLC, is here to provide you that service. Again, it's not only restricted to South Florida. We're here to publicize your business. So you be so kind to reach out and contact me. My name is Amare, Amari. We'll be happy to serve you because here our attitude is servitude. Thank you once again, Brother Stevie Butler, for inviting me to come on.
Thank you, brother, for that presentation. Certainly appreciate it, my brother. Appreciate you.
You're welcome.
Your grace and mercy brought me through. I'm living this moment because of you. And I want to
thank you, Jesus.
And praise you.
From the Lord with your host, Stevie R. Butler. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to bring you a subject entitled The Lessons of Grace. The Lessons of Grace. Now, the lesson text that we'd like to use for this lesson will be Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. The Apostle Paul says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Ladies and gentlemen, for by grace, Paul says, you have been saved through. This is a common passage often used to prove that Christians are saved by grace alone through faith alone. Grace, however, does not mysteriously come down from heaven to save people. Grace primarily took the form of Jesus Christ our Lord dying on the cross of Calvary for us. Secondarily, but just as importantly, grace also took the form of the Holy Spirit teaching through his word. Without it, we would not know about Jesus Christ's amazing sacrifice, let alone what we must do in order to be saved. True faith must include obedience on our part, and true grace must include teaching on God's part. God taught Noah to build the ark to save his family. He also taught the children of Israel the Mosaic law to lead them to Christ. And he taught all people today the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. In his letter to Titus, the Apostle Paul wrote about this grace in Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. Paul says, "The grace of God that bringeth salvation and has appeared to all men." Paul would continue to write about what this grace teaches us and how we ought to live, and the reason we as Christians ought to live this way. 2 points I want to give you from this lesson, and the lesson will be yours. First of all, we want to talk about how we ought to live. How we ought to live. Ladies and gentlemen, the next verse in Titus chapter 2 and verse 12, the Apostle Paul explains that grace is teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, watch this now, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. You see that? Since grace is not mysteriously bestowed upon us, it gives us instructions to follow. Since faith necessarily includes obedience, it is our duty not only to believe in that grace, but also to obey it. The Apostle Paul wrote in another letter in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, Paul says, "Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" Then he concludes, "Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it?" Ladies and gentlemen, grace is exceedingly abundant, but it is also precious because it was brought at a price. If we continue in sin, we are treating the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross with contempt. And we should not expect a reward when we leave this life. There are two things mentioned that we must deny, and three we are to embrace. We must deny ungodliness and worldly lust. The two things that are readily all-encompassing terms that refer to sin, the Greek word for ungodliness is a combination of a negative and the root word meaning to reverse, to worship. This is a complete lack of pity, reverence, and worship toward God. And it is something that grace teaches us to deny. Along with ungodliness, we also ought to deny worldly lust. The Apostle John describes the three major categories of sin, John chapter 2 and verse 16. John says, "All that is in the world," watch this now, "the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." Ladies and gentlemen, lust is defined as an unlawful desire. The Bible uses the same Greek word to express covetousness, to express lust and desire, while in English we tend to think of these things separately. All desire is not sinful. Recall that in James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, James says, "Each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death." That's James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. And while desire is not always sinful, we ought to be vigilant to keep it from turning into to lust. You see? This is always sinful. Some things ought to be denied. Succumbing to these lusts bring forth death, just as grace teaches us. You see? Conversely, the Apostle Paul, he offers three things that we ought to exhibit to live soberly, righteously, and godly. There are two families of Greek words that are translated as sober in the New Testament. And sometimes both are found in a particular verse. The Apostle Paul uses both in his epistle to Titus, uses only one of them frequently. This Greek word is a combination of two others and literally means to save the mind. The Apostle Paul exhorts Christians of every demographic with this word in Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, which culminates later in the chapter when it becomes something that grace teaches to all men in Titus 2, verse 11 and 12. The opposite of this would be doing anything that would lead one's mind to be compromised in any way. This includes abusing alcohol and drugs, both prescription and recreational, but it also includes being drunk on love, which is really being carried away by one's own sexual lusts. If we remain sober, living righteously and godly becomes much easier. If one is righteous, then he will be innocent, holy and just. To live godly is to be pious and reverent toward God. We are called to live in this way, and grace teaches us to avoid things that would cause us to neglect righteousness and godliness in this present age. Which brings us to our second point of this lesson, and that is that Christ will return. Christ will return. Ladies and gentlemen, after the Apostle Paul discusses what grace teaches us to do, he tells Titus that we should be looking. Look at verse 13 of Titus chapter 2. Paul says, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, this is our motivation to live soberly, to live righteously, and to live godly. When the Apostle Paul was soon to be martyred, he stated in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, he says, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Ladies and gentlemen, the crown of righteousness is waiting for us in heaven if we are looking forward to Jesus' return. This is our blessed hope. But if we are in sin, we have no reason to look forward to his return. It would mean doom on our part. Our only hope is to be faithful unto death, and he will give us the crown of life. Revelation chapter 10 and verse 10. The Christians in Smyrna, to whom this was written, were persecuted and were more certainly looking forward to Christ's return, since it would mean the end of their persecution. They would have then receive the crown of life. And for the crown of righteousness, this is symbolic of the riches and rewards of heaven. Grace teaches us of Christ's return and the reward that would follow the faithful. The author of the book of Hebrews writes of the alternative in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 and 27. The Hebrew writer said, "For if we sin willfully, after we have received a knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation, which will devour the adversary." Ladies and gentlemen, while those who love Christ's appearing and abide by the lessons of grace will receive the crown of righteousness, those who ignore these lessons have sinned willfully and should expect judgment with fear. The Hebrew writer continues in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 28 and 29. He says, "Anyone who has rejected Moses' law died without mercy. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant which he sanctified, a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace?" Ladies and gentlemen, God views those who have obeyed the gospel but have fallen away as if they have walked all over his dear Son, not recognizing the extraordinary price that he had paid for their sins to be forgiven. Not only this, but they have insulted the Spirit of grace, that same grace that teaches us how to live in this present world. Grace will not save if it has been insulted in this manner. It gets worse for those who fall away. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 30 and 31, the Hebrew writer says, "For we know him who said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord.' And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." Ladies and gentlemen, not only will the Lord take vengeance on those who know not God and who do not obey the gospel, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8, but also on those who have known him and have turned away. We do not want to find ourselves in that position on the final judgment day. So in conclusion, ladies and gentlemen, recalling the Apostle Paul's words in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, our lesson text, and let us consider the following verses. "For we are his workmanship," in this Ephesians 2 and verse 10, "for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." As the Apostle Paul wrote about the relationship between grace and faith leading to salvation, he also wrote about the good works that we were created to do. He continues this theme in his letter to Titus, saying in Titus 2 and verse 14, that Christ gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Ladies and gentlemen, let us always utilize the lessons that grace has taught us concerning how to live this way. Let us be eager to obey the Spirit of grace and be zealous for the good works that he has created for us to do. Amen. And I'll see you on the other side of the break.
God can.
I don't know what you're going through right now, but I'll admit it, y'all, the struggle is real, and sometimes our faith it gets a little weak. Over the years, y'all, I've found out some
God
is able. So we don't have to worry ourselves about it, y'all. So I just keep telling myself these two words: God can. My God, he can. Oh,
I know he can.
Tried him and I know, no, no, no. Said I know he could do it for me right now. There's a time in every life. Trouble comes, then we stop and wonder why. Why, man? Especially when you're trying to do the right thing. Can I get a witch? Oh, no, oh, no.
Yeah.
Why this tears and why this pain? Lord, my soul is weak. I need some things to change. So I'm calling on you, Lord, Lord. Then I hear the Holy Spirit speaking to my situation. Dry your eyes. It's all right. God always supplies your needs. So I put my trust in thee, cause I know you can. Oh, God, but I know you can. He's got all power in his hand. Oh, you gotta trust and believe. You gotta have faith to receive. You gotta know you can, Lord. And even in your darkest hour, when you can't see your way through, see, I know you thought it was over, but I can see the sun creeping through the clouds. But I know he can. Faith, prayer, I know he can. Lord, 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 he can. Y'all, he can do anything.
Great, unmerited favor. Standing here by God's power.
Remove that thing from your heart. reminisce about the time in our life. Hey, but we didn't know what to do. We didn't know which way to go. Didn't know which way to turn. No. And the mountains seemed so high, but didn't know how to get over.
Oh, no, no.
Said we were deep down in the valley of despair. But let me tell you what we did. Said we went down on our knees. Said, Father, help us, please. We need to bring the power right here this very hour. Peter, living with his mighty hand. I'm a living testimony that God came. That I know that he came. No matter what you go through, put your trust in.
You're listening to What a Word from the Lord with your host, Stevie R. Butler. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the portion or the part of the broadcast where I want to extend the Lord's invitation. And all that is, I just want to make people aware of what they must do in order to be saved, because we don't know who our listeners are. And we know this show is being heard all over the globe, ladies and gentlemen, and we want to sow the seed of the kingdom as best we can. And ladies and gentlemen, if you are not a child of God, and one cannot be a child of God until you are a Christian, it's not enough to be, it's not until you have been born again, as the Bible teaches, you need to be aware that you are lost outside of Christ. You're not lost 100 years from now. You're lost right now. It's not enough to be religious. You must obey the commands of the Lord. In order for a man to be saved, you must take heed and answer the gospel call. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14. You must hear the gospel. John chapter 6 verse 45 and Romans chapter 10 verse 14 and 17. And the facts of the gospel are the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verses 1 and 2. You must believe the same. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. James chapter 2 and verse 24. You must repent. Luke chapter 13 verses 3 and 5. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. You must confess your faith in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33. You must be baptized in water for the remission or the forgiveness of your sins. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Acts 10 and verse 48. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. And if you are a Christian and you have not been faithful in your service to God, you need to decide again in repentance and prayer. Acts chapter 8. And verse 22. And I want to encourage you to visit the Church of Christ that's in your local area. Amen. And I'll see you on the other side of the break.
Through the valley of death,
through the valley of death,
I'm sure I must go.
I'm sure I must go.
So the wages of sin,
so the wages of sin,
I don't want to know.
I don't want to know.
I'll be judged by the deed.
I'll be judged by the deed.
And the seed I have sown,
and the seed I have sown.
And I'll live with my Savior,
and I'll live with my Savior,
while the ages roll on,
and on.
While the ages roll on,
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 I'll be with my Lord,
I'll be with my Lord,
while the ages roll on,
while the ages roll on.
The ages roll on,
while the ages roll on,
while the ages roll on,
while the ages roll on,
I'll be with my Lord,
I'll be with my Lord,
while the ages roll on,
while the ages roll on.
the life I have lived,
the life I have lived,
and the path I have trod,
and the path I have trod.
Well, I hope that someday,
well, I hope that someday,
will be pleasing to God,
will be pleasing to God,
when I stand at His throne,
when I stand at His throne.
I know I won't be alone,
I know I won't be alone,
'cause I'll be with my Savior,
'cause I'll be with my Savior,
while the ages roll
on and on,
while the ages roll 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 on,
I'll be with my Lord.
Listening to What a Word from the Lord with your host, Stevie R. Butler. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for spending a little time with us this evening in the study of God's Word. I want to thank my special guest speaker, Michael Laurie. He did a great job on the broadcast this evening. I also want to thank my special guest, Amari Amari, from the state of Florida in the Community Corner. Certainly appreciate his presentation on the broadcast this evening. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my prayer that these lessons and the thing that you heard on this broadcast this evening have been beneficial to your spiritual lives, and your relationship with the Lord has been strengthened because you are tuning into this broadcast and you have given yourself over to a study of God's Word. So until we meet again, I pray God's continual blessings upon your lives and that He bless you real, real good. Good night, everybody.
I know.
We are the
Father.
We are the
Father.
Listening to What a Word from the Lord with your host, Stevie R. Butler, episode 77.
I'm climbing this mountain till I reach higher ground.
Can't turn around.
I can't turn around.
Oh, no.
So I ain't gonna stop now.
Anybody out there?
So the storm will
having tried and
I'm
tribulation, I just want to encourage you.
Keep moving on.
I need somebody who's been through something. Help me now.
I've had some ups and downs, hard times in my life.
I've had to wipe so many tears from my weeping eyes.
I know the pain will last only for a night.
That's why I'll hold on till the morning light. See the suffering we're going through, it don't compare to the dread that wait for us all the day. I gotta keep on climbing, though sometimes we make it hard. But we ain't gonna stop till we reach the top. The devil tries to make us think there is no way out. Maybe you lost someone that was close to you.
Maybe you're sick and there's nothing you can do.
Oh yeah.
Just keep your eyes to the sky. When times get hard, keep pressing toward the prize.
Oh, you see, I try. They won't last for long.
They only make them
so they gotta keep on.
Higher
ground.